pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for December 19th. Wednesday, December 19th, I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Dwayne, how are you doing today?
I am doing well, Kevin. It is a less than a week to Christmas, I think I might shop today. Finally, I did order something online the other day, but I think it's time to go to the mall.
Yeah, me too. But you know, getting married next year, the listeners probably know that by now. So the shopping will be to its minimal this year. So I'm like, okay, here's a card for everyone. Thank you. Have a great Christmas.
But here's some beef jerky.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Christmas and gifts, there was a three-way trade yesterday. My brain was a bit rattled because I'm like, three-way trade? This hurts. This hurts my brain. How do you like this? So here's the actual details. I'm going to go through the details, and Dwayne and I will talk about the trade in a second. So Kellen Rowe is headed to Sporting Kansas City, Edgar Castillo to the New England Revolution, and Diego Rubio to the Colorado Rapids. How it happens is the Revs acquired the fullback Castillo in a direct swap from Rowe for $200,000. Direct swap from Castillo and Rowe. The Rapids then traded Rowe to Kansas City for $200,000 of allocation money and $100,000 in targeted allocation to get Rubio. So the price for Rubio was really high. It was Kellen Rowe and $300,000 total TAM money. Well, total allocation money. So it's a pretty expensive trade for a player, Diego Rubio, who did not live up to expectations in 2018.
Yeah, this is a case of hoping that shifting locations will reputation and expectations. So we'll see whether that works. Colorado's making a lot of changes in this offseason. I guess when you've had the seasons that they've had with that one outlier, you probably want to do that. So it's hard to really evaluate this. Like, look, these are a lot of pieces that really could have a net zero impact on the results of their teams. Like, but they could. I mean, it's a potential like, oh, I see something in this player that I think I can get out of, so let's move him here. Or I'm going to take him and give you this guy that I don't think I'm going to get anything out of anymore. Like, or not anything. That's a harsh way to say it. These are maybe slightly above MLS average level, maybe like 60% rather than 50% type thing. And that, you know, it's hard to evaluate when you haven't seen them play yet for their new teams. But sometimes it is true that a change of location can bring the best out in someone.
Kellen Rowe is a player that I've always appreciated in Major League Soccer. I think he wasn't necessarily having the best of relationship, and not necessarily a relationship where the coach didn't trust him, but just only 21 appearances this year for the New England Revolution, which is a lot less than he had over the last few years. And for me, Kellen Rowe was one of the best midfielder that the Revolution did have over the last, 5 years almost? So I think for Kellen Rowe, it might be a blessing in disguise going to Kansas City, a team and a style of play that might fit more into what he's capable of doing. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if the whole key to this three-team trade is Kellen Rowe to Kansas City.
Yeah, and look, you're right. And that is the one name that sort of has the best MLS reputation. He is an MLS lifer, right? He is a solid MLS player for sure. He is the key. I think you're correct in that assumption. And, you know, Kansas City, that's a nice piece for them because they don't need – you know, it's not like they're bringing him in to set them over the top or to be the superstar they're going to go behind. This is a piece that they're going to make themselves better at a certain position in, and that's a good position to be in if you are a team in MLS where you're trying to, you know, supplement your stars already. So I think he'll fit into that concept that Kansas City has going on, and certainly, you know, it's hard to argue against SKC. Beyond Kevin's throw them against the wall every year approach, it is hard to argue that they aren't among the favorites to win the West next year already.
Hey, one of these days, it's going to stick on the wall, and Kansas City will be the winner eventually, I believe so. Well, now another big news that came out yesterday. We've talked about this briefly. It was in the works for the last few days. Is Zlatan is back. Major League Zlatan will continue in 2019 with the LA Galaxy, but has a new contract, and he's a DP. So, what's going to give? Is it going to be one of the Dos Santos brothers or Romain Alessandrini? Dwayne, what do you think? I've just lost Dwayne, so I'm going to get Dwayne back on the line in a second. But when we look at the Galaxy's move of signing Zlatan for a DP contract, they have three already. So it leaves one DP that is available to move or available to buy out his contract or to move forward. So Dwayne is back on the line. Dwayne, when I'm looking at the LA Galaxy and Zlatan coming back, which is the expendable DP? One of the Dos Santos brothers or Romain Alessandrini?
Who you were comparing Zlatan to, Kevin, if you could repeat that.
Dwayne is in the ether today.
He has all around. Yeah, all around. So there you go.
Yeah, what I was asking is, if you are the LA Galaxy, which other DP do you get rid of? Because you have to get rid of one. You already had three, and you signed a new one. So which DP is expandable? One of the Dos Santos brothers or Romain Alessandrini?
I'm going to go with both the Dos Santos brothers. They have been a bust. In my opinion, they have not anywhere come near meeting the expectations, the belief that they had on either side of the equation. They have not performed. They have never been a good fit in that team, and they have not really driven the ticket gate. LAFC has surpassed them in that market already in many ways. It's part of that. I just don't see them gathering much benefit from them. If they can get rid of both, then I think that would benefit them a great deal, because the Galaxy are always another DP, so it may be time to cut bait on the Dos Santos brothers, both of them. For sure, one of them, I think, will be who goes, but I think that they might even be trying to get rid of both of them.
The Galaxy has a bit of time before they have to take that decision, and they're still working on who's going to be the manager for the 2019 season. So I think those decisions are all related. The new manager is going to come in and be like, okay, you got three guys here. Do what you want. If I'm the Galaxy, I keep Alessandrini. But if you look at Major League Soccer, you look at the rest of the league itself, Romain Alessandrini might have the most amount of value versus the other two Dos Santos brothers. So if I'm the Galaxy, I try to actually have a profitable trade or a way to send Alessandrini to another team. And because he is valuable. He had great seasons with the LA Galaxy in tumultuous time, but still had maybe one of the best seasons out of all the DPs in the league. Even it was a little low profile. Romain Alessandrini was performing week in, week out. So if I'm the Galaxy, I'm trying to transfer him, probably more a trade, because he has the most amount of value out of the three.
Yeah, for sure. That is the equation, too. You have to factor that side of it in. What you can get the most value back for. If the Galaxy, you know, when they do have the new manager, as you said, and may end up being, they are going to want to reshape that club into something that more accurately fits their image. And it's interesting. The suggestions that they're not willing to pay for on the manager side, the money that's being expected, makes me wonder whether the Galaxy aren't reconsidering what their position is.
Yeah,
just all in right now based on the moves they're making. Maybe the Galaxy, because of the talent that they're sitting on, might be thinking of something similar with LAFC coming into that market and maybe, you know, kind of going after some bigger names themselves. It's an interesting sort of dynamic happening in LA. I can't imagine the Galaxy not being the capital G Galaxy anymore, but it might be a smarter way for them to go.
Yeah, and now just to go back to the Zlatan part of this. Zlatan scored a lot of goals last year, but the Galaxy missed the playoffs, and there was a lot of rumblings from bad behavior in training with his teammate, slide tackles, injuring teammates. a bit of a bully in the locker room, and we've seen it on the field too. I just had the image of Zlatan slapping Michael Petrasso in my mind, which happened last year too. He got a straight red card. But when we look at Zlatan and his performance in 2018, is it a positive to bring him back for 2019?
Not a positive because of the goals and the excitement and the ticket driving and the commercial aspect to it. But yeah, I don't know whether I would have made the decision to bring him back if I were the Galaxy, because he is such a big personality. And I think that he's just a personality that very good year. He is obviously among the top 10 players in this league, if not the top 5 players in this league, in terms of his raw talent. But I don't know whether he had a top 10 impact on his team effect. You know what I mean? Like, he might not have been able, he certainly isn't able to, well, we saw it last year, he's not able on his own to change the LA Galaxy from, you know, a non-playoff team into a contending team. And that was the idea. That should be the idea anyway. Bringing in a player of that talent, if you can't, like, compare him to Wayne Rooney. A productive player, see forward, and makes them, you know, maybe they're a top 3 contender for next season right now. You have to put them in the mix at the top of the East with New York, Atlanta.
We're having some technical problem today, so we can barely hear Dwayne, so I'm going to try to call Dwayne back as well. It's one of these days on Skype, which hadn't happened in forever, but I'm just going to get Dwayne back on the line now. Dwayne was comparing him to Wayne Rooney. It's true, when you see Wayne Rooney come in and have a great performance of a season, bringing DC United from the bottom of the Eastern Conference right up into the playoffs and being able to perform well in the regular season. And the DC did not necessarily perform as expected in the playoff, but it's true, Dwayne, when you compare Zlatan to Wayne Rooney, you do see a different type of engagement, a different type of commitment to the team. And Wayne Rooney went all in with DC United, committed to his teammates, to his coach, to his environment, and not there to complain. And we did hear Zlatan complain a lot last year of, oh, my teammates need to do better. How do we want to do this? We're not going to be a playoff team, blah, blah, blah. And it seems like Wayne Rooney got into the league in a very bad situation where his team was the last one in the Eastern Conference. And he, instead of complaining and belaboring and trying to blame everyone, he just played and brought everyone with him. And I don't think Zlatan will ever do that.
There's no way Zlatan will ever do that. It's just not his personality. I mean, this is a guy that's been moved from some of the biggest clubs in the world simply because they don't want to deal with his personality. I mean, it's why he left Barcelona, essentially, because they didn't think he could handle being a second choice at Barcelona. I mean, that's right in Pep's book, that he got rid of him for that reason. He just didn't. He thought he was obviously immensely talented, but he didn't believe that this was a player whose ego could handle coming off the bench, and he thought that was the best for Barcelona at that time was for Zlatan to come off the bench, and he could have been a valuable weapon that way, but they just felt it was better to just get rid of him, and they did. And that's, you know, that's just history now, but it certainly speaks to the present in terms of what this player is like. So look, the Galaxy are a lost team. They are MLS 2.0 personified, and they have not evolved. And that is why they are now back-to-back seasons. I don't know if it's 3 seasons in a row or 2 seasons in a row they missed the playoffs, but they haven't really been close to competitive in terms of a championship contending team in a long time now. And that's not what we expect from the LA Galaxy. And Zlatan is, you know, re-signing him allows them, sort of makes them continuing on that 2.0 model when they might need to evolve into something new.
So we'll see who is named the LA Galaxy head coach in the next couple of weeks and what decisions they do decide to take versus their 3 DPs. We know Zlatan's going to stay now because his brand new contract and his DP status and the fact that he wanted to be a DP so bad, I think, is another ego aspect to it. But it's going to be at least entertaining with LA and Zlatan in 2019. And who's going to be the coach? That's a question. It's going to be a Marino, who actually Grant Wall was talking about it yesterday and this morning, just like we are. We have been yesterday, but I don't think Marino is ready to go to LA right away. So it'll be a fascinating time for the Galaxy. Now, League Cup. There was a couple games yesterday, couple games today. It's a quarterfinal. And yesterday, yes, there was one that went to penalties, and Manchester City did beat Leicester 3-1. But the game that was surprising, a Championship versus League One matchup, Middlesbrough versus Burton, and Burton beating Boro 1-0 to get a spot in the semifinal. Burton in the semifinal. That's a Cinderella story that usually you never see all the way up to the semifinals in the League Cup.
Yeah, well, it'd be Burton Albion and three Premier League ship teams, so it'll be interesting there. It's nice to have in these League Cups, and we've actually had Brentford a couple of years ago went to both the semifinals of the League Cup and the FA Cup, if memory serves. Maybe it was quarterfinals of the FA Cup. So they've had some deep runs, those kind of teams. They usually end at the semifinal stage because the League Cup is set up as a two-game series in the semifinals. So that's good. But, I mean, when you look at a team like Burton Albion, they're going to get a payday out of this because they will get one of Chelsea, Spurs,
Chelsea, Bournemouth,
Spurs, Arsenal, or perhaps Bournemouth. But yeah, perhaps. They're going to get, you know, they're cheering hard for Chelsea today if you're the owners of Burton Albion, because you know it's due respect to Bournemouth, who are a Premier League team. They're not necessarily going to be the same draw as Chelsea, Spurs, or Arsenal. So. Or City, for that matter. So that's going to be something that they're cheering hard for. And it's what we like about the Cup. We like to have these upsets, and why the blind draw, no seeding in it, makes it fun in all these aspects. You know, North Americans would lose their mind without a seeded draw, but I think it's one of the things that we do love, and it is enjoyable.
Yeah, because what I like about it, it's not about what you did the year before or what about your statuses as a club or the last 18 months, which gives you a seeding, and you have kind of like a padded way through the tournament. This is like, I don't want to say pure, because it's not necessarily pure, but it's look, you want to win the cup? We're drawing names. You guys go there, and every round we're doing a draw, so you're facing somebody else, and it's can you handle this game? Can you handle this one? And then you move on. It's I think, makes the game a bit more important, and at least gives the trophy, the overall tournament and cup tournament, more value when you know that, you never know. Sometimes in the fourth round, you'll get an amazing team and you have to beat that team to continue. And if not, well, your run's over. So I do like that aspect to it. And sometimes you get lucky, like Burton, where your opponents are a bit easier in the quarters. They drew Middlesbrough instead of drawing a Chelsea or a Man City or a Leicester. And it gives them a little chance to go further and make a payday, like you mentioned. And a payday for a League One team like this, it actually helps them tremendously down the road in the next transfer window that's going to open in about a week and a half. And it gives them more money for operations. It gives them a lot more leeway into trying to build a better roster to get the promotion, go into the championship, and eventually trying to go to the Premier League. So I think those stories are always amazing, but let's be realistic here. I think the semifinal will be the end for Burton.
Yeah, well, yeah. Even if they were to draw Bournemouth, which would obviously be the easiest touch of the teams that are still alive for the League Cup, it still is going to be, Bournemouth is having a nice season and they're a solid team. So it would still be a pretty big challenge for a League One team, but they're there. And that's what matters. We have seen, we saw Wigan win the FA Cup a couple years ago. They were still in the Premier League at that time, but were dead last in the Premier League when they won it and went down to the Championship and have not returned. So that was maybe the biggest upset we've seen in a while. But it's been a long time since we've seen a team from outside this. I think Cardiff won something from outside, a League Cup or something. I'm trying to remember the last time we've had a non-Premier League winner of either of the Cups. It's been a while. But certainly it's fun, and it'll make for a lot of joy in there. I enjoy the League Cup at a pure geek's level because the big teams have to manage it in a way that makes it more interesting. Like, they have this sort of like game of chess that they play with how many reserve players can they sneak into the lineup and still get through the rounds. It kind of makes it interesting to me. Certainly City and Leicester yesterday in the game that did go to penalties, with City winning that with one of the most dreadful penalty shootouts I've ever seen.
3-1, you know that the Leicester struggled there.
Yeah, they were taking terrible penalties, and yeah, and Raheem Sterling had the worst penalty of all. He just tried to do the little trick where they chip the keeper and instead put it over the goal. So that was fun. But anyway, they got through, City did. But even though both of those teams were trying to play a little trickery there, it was both backup keepers, for instance, were in that penalty shootout. So a lot of fun, a lot of joy, League Cup, hurrah, semifinals or two-game series, which kind of is weird. And that's when the big clubs generally start to throw out their bigger lineups because they're like, well, we're a win away from the final and we get a day at Wembley and our fan. If you win a cup, you can always just say you won a cup, right? I think the managers start to view that as like, that'll help me in the boardroom if I have a little silverware to bring in with me. So
yeah,
they start to take it a little more seriously.
It didn't help Jose, but it does help usually a manager. It didn't help Marino, but no. And the two other quarterfinals are today, 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time, 11:45 Pacific, Chelsea versus Bournemouth, and Arsenal versus Tottenham, a London derby in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. This game should be interesting, especially when we look at Arsenal's tough weekend where they lost to Southampton. They lost 3-1 to Southampton, and that was a shocker. Bottom team in the league, which actually is not bottom anymore. They just outside promotion in 17th spot. But what a shocker that was. And this game is going to be maybe redemption for Arsenal, but they're facing a Tottenham team that is not easy to beat either.
No, of course not. That's the game of the round for sure. And you said, London derby. It's the London derby. So it'll be a lot of fun that perspective. That's the matchup of the round. Arsenal had gone on that big winning streak and now sort of are a bit odd to handicap. They've been a bit odd to handicap all year, to be honest. But Spurs in our always struggles against their rivals and lost the last time this happened just a few weeks ago. So that'll be a fun one, a good way to spend your afternoon. If you have DAZN on the phone or whatever, you can throw that down when you're working away, and it'll be an entertaining way to spend the last couple hours of your work day.
Yeah, so at 2:45 p.m., no one looks for me. It's my last day off today, so I'm going to be watching Chelsea with my coffee and taking a lot of time to just watch the Blues. It's maybe too much information for you guys, but I've started the keto diet, so my coffee is really black and bland. It's got cream, that's it, no sugar. So I'm going to be in front of my TV trying to be distracted by this Chelsea game while I cannot eat carbs.
You go with the fasting diet, Kevin. Intermittent fasting.
I always do that though, because I don't eat in the morning.
Breakfast.
Exactly. So I've been doing this almost my entire life without even wanting to.
There you go. Well, you could do. There's lots of those fun diets there. We could have that on our dieting show, but maybe not. That's just another podcast for another day.
Yeah. Well, I was saying earlier, I'm getting married, right? So I want to fit in my suit in 6 months. So I'm starting early. We'll have another show recorded today, the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, at some point this afternoon. It will drop on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork, almost entirely dedicated to the Ottawa Fury CONCACAF situation with the sanctioning. And a big, big story came out this morning too, Dwayne, is we're just going to give a little teaser for that show. It's going to the Court of Arbitration of Sport, La Cour d'Arbitration du Sport in Lausanne. The Fury have asked to have an expedited process, which you can do at this tribunal, and we'll have more details on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. But it's an interesting topic with a lot more ramifications for Canadian team in the future, and with a lot of different characters at different position that could explain why and how and who's at fault, who's not at fault. It's a fascinating discussion we're going to have later on.
Yeah, I won't spoil it. If you're on Twitter, you kind of know where I stand on this issue. I think this is a bit of a Hail Mary by the Fury is what I'll say on this show. But yeah, just give us $2 a month or more, and you can listen to that show whenever you want.
And it'll be out this afternoon, once again, at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, this show at Soccer Today SPN. We are live on our Twitter feed all the time with the live video, and you can get the podcast version anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for Soccer Today. And if you cannot find it in your podcatchers, let me know, and I'll make sure that it is on that podcatcher. And you can always find the podcast version on our website, sportspodcastingnetwork.com. And as until tomorrow for a regular show, or until later on for the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.